Hello, Internet. My name's Jonathan Cook.
And I'm Matt Noble.
And here we are. La La Land.
L.A. Hollywood, baby. We made it.
Hollywood, Tinseltown. Yeah. I successfully made it home from work. Matt made it all the way from Australia. It's good to have you here, Matt.
Yeah, well, when the Emmys are in town, I come running. Yeah.
Oh, man. How many times have you come over for the Emmys now?
Twice. Deuce.
And how many times have you come to see me?
More.
More. Yes. Take that,
yeah,
Emmys.
Right? Well, do we count the times I came for the Emmys or those times I came to see you?
Depends what you really came for.
Okay, here's the story.
From my perspective, it's a bit of a coincidence that you came at the same time as the Emmys.
Well, I want to come and see you, so I plan it, around when the Emmys are on.
The Emmys are the cherry on top.
Yeah, the Emmys are I might as well come the week the Emmys are on, because then I've got the Emmys as well.
Well, you've done it again. You've come for the Emmys, and we're going
to
do it...
To be honest, probably this time was a bit more for the Emmys, just because I'd come up for your wedding a couple of weeks earlier, and I didn't know how tired you and Bonnie would be from the wedding, didn't want to impose on you necessarily. The last time I came for the Emmys, I think, was a bit more of a Emmys, see Jonathan and Bonnie, do this. I think there was, that was a longer trip. I was here for, longer than...
You've done the double barrel. Maybe we'll touch briefly on the wedding, maybe in housekeeping.
Mm.
But in the podcast...
Another big event. But what a month for events.
September.
Hollywood events. You got Screen Verdict wedding. Not happening in Hollywood, but when George Clooney gets married in his Italian villa, people are calling that a Hollywood event, right? That's a Hollywood...
Was that the talk on the town about my wedding?
It may have come up. I may have said I was here a week ago for a wedding, so I'm trying to remember. I was interviewing Ben Schwartz in the Emmy campaign when he was campaigning for short form actor, and I told him I was going to your wedding for Charlottesville, in Charlottesville, and he was crazy that your wedding was there, after all that stuff happened.
Yeah, well...
He couldn't believe it.
Ben Schwartz, big fan, big friend of the podcast, one might say.
Yeah. Why not?
Why not? All right, very cool. Well, we're going to do something we haven't quite done before. So we usually talk about the Emmys, but we're mixing up the format a little bit this year. Matt, what are we shaking up?
We usually do a preview, though. I think last year we did a review of the Emmys, and we usually go through category by category and sort of talk through all the contenders, who liked, who we didn't like. We've talked about a few of these shows already on the podcast. We thought what might be good is to just do a brief overview. What do we think of the show? We'll go through each category made by segment. What do we think of the drama categories? What do we think of the comedy categories? What do we think of the variety categories? What do we think of the limited series categories? And then I will give my behind-the-scenes stories of the stars I bumped into at the Emmys and the interactions I had with them.
Yeah, so we'll let you know who Matt saw. You can make your predictions on whether or not they're cool or not in real life.
Yeah.
And then Matt will reveal the answer. So, should we kick things off with the host?
Yes, Stephen Colbert, host of the Emmys. He is my favourite late-night talk show host, maybe of all time, from the Colbert Report.
Yeah, if that's included.
Yeah, because I think that just 10-year satire that he did, no one else has done anything like that, playing a satirical character for 10 years in a sort of talk show type format. I thought it was incredible. And I think on The Late Show, I don't think he's as good as he was on The Colbert Report, but I still think he's one of the best. And so I was so excited to see him finally get to take that Emmy hosting stage.
Yeah, I was a massive fan of the Colbert Report. Watched it a ton back in the day. And I guess I'm one of those annoying millennials that don't really watch TV anymore.
Mm.
Mostly watch just Netflix or Hulu. And I guess I'm not sure if it's a CBS thing or just a late show thing, but Colbert is not on Hulu.
Yeah, I think you need to get CBS All Access. I think that's why he's not on the other things.
And we could probably stream it to our TV. We have an old TV, and we have an Apple TV, but it's the first edition. We can't update it. So I mean, like, I'm sure I could find it online and watch it on the laptop or something, but I haven't really kept up with him as much as I should, I suppose, considering how much I like Colbert. I've watched it here and there, and it's been good, but not as maybe as good as I had hoped from Colbert, from the little bits that I've seen of the Late Show. So I was actually pretty excited, because I'm like, oh, I'm definitely watching all of this, and I want to see what Colbert can do at the Emmys.
Yeah, and you can actually watch most of the Colbert Late Show on YouTube. They upload most of the interviews and monologues and stuff to YouTube, which is how
they just cross their fingers that everything goes viral.
Yeah. So, what did you think of Colbert?
I like the start. I like the song. I thought it was a good song. It was catchy. Everything's better on TV. So that was a good way to kick it off.
Some edgy bits in there. Julia Louis-Dreyfus singing that MTV have a president that isn't followed by Nazis, and Colbert singing with the Americans guys that even treason's better on TV. Like, pretty good. There was some pretty good barbs in there too.
And Chance the Rapper had a good cameo as well.
I didn't quite get the Chance the Rapper bit, because Colbert's whole thing was like, you should put on TV because, like, things are better on TV. It's a good escape. And Chance's whole thing was about sort of, guys, you know, just record it. Go to the protests. Like, don't forget all the, like, big things that are happening in the world. But, like, they were talking a bit across from each other, Colbert and Chance. I didn't know what the producers wanted me to take away. Should I watch TV or should I go to the protests and TiVo?
So that counts. There's so many forms of TV. Mm. As I guess we'll talk about in some of the results, many forms of TV.
Yeah.
Attaining success in 2017. Mm. So then the monologue. I thought the monologue was good, but there were only maybe a couple of laugh out loud funny moments.
Mm.
I really liked his Bill Maher joke.
Yeah, that was good.
That was probably the one that I remember the most.
That was where he listed all the African-American nominees this year and then just slipped Bill Maher in the middle of them.
Who he assumes is African-American based on his comfortability using the N-word.
Yeah, I thought that was edgy. I thought that was a really good joke.
Fortunately,
I don't think Bill Maher was in the room. So
I would have been great to cut to his reaction.
Yeah. Because he would have hated that joke.
I don't know. Nothing else is jumping to mind from the monologue. I know there were a couple of good ones. Were there any special moments for you?
No, I think it was a strong monologue, but nothing other than the Bill Maher things jumping out to me. I think probably Kimmel had a slight... Oh, there was the Sean Spicer appearance at the end of it. That was sort of the big sort of ending to his monologue. People in the room were pretty shocked.
I had mixed feelings on that.
So did I.
And we're not a political podcast. We're not going to delve too much into the politics of this, I don't think.
Mm.
I thought the shock factor of it worked. And it was kind of funny to see... Because I guess, like, Sean Spicer has maybe felt like he was the joke, and now he wanted to be, like, in on the joke.
Yeah.
And it was, like, I guess was some sort of redemption for Sean Spicer. I guess the question to ask yourself is... Do you want any redemption for Sean Spicer? Does he deserve redemption? Does that normalize Sean Spicer and anything he stood for?
Here's my thoughts. I was a bit confused why Sean Spicer was doing this on one level. Because if you just look at on paper at the joke, it's pretty much just saying, hey, this guy lied to prop up the ego of an immature person. which reflects very poorly on Sean Spicer and Donald Trump,
mm-hmm.
right? Yet you see in all the interviews that he's doing on other shows and stuff, he's sort of still saying he supports the president, he's not apologising for any of these things. So it seems weird he would be so adamant that he was doing the right thing or that President Trump's a good president, and then come on a show making fun of how he lied to people about something because the president's immature. So I didn't quite get what he was doing there. And I did not like how smug he was and how, like, pleased he seemed to be that he was in on the joke.
I thought he looked a little nervous, to be honest.
Yeah.
I didn't hate it. I mean, there was a bit of a surprise factor. It was somewhat funny, but it certainly wasn't the highlight.
I would have rathered it not be there, probably, at the end of the day. But Not fuming. I was probably more upset at some of the selfies that celebrities were getting with him after the show. James Corden's kissing him at one of the after parties.
Getting spicy.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
Something I noticed was that it seemed like there wasn't as many bits in between the awards. Colbert didn't make too many jokes about the upcoming announcers. Maybe that was just for time, because they ended up running slightly over time anyway, so maybe that was why they did it.
They had the Westworld bit. That was pretty funny.
I did like the Westworld bit.
That was funny, a Westworld sketch. They also had one with Colbert interviewing RuPaul dressed as the Emmy. That was sort of funny, too.
That was okay. I didn't mind that.
And him and Jimmy Kimmel had a great bit after John Oliver. That was my favorite bit. That was really good.
They were drinking the specialty cocktail, the John Oliver.
The Last Week Tonight, I think it was.
Oh, the Last Week Tonight.
Which was, a dry British taste that was such high quality they could only make one a week.
That was one of my favourite jokes of the night.
Yeah, that was really good. So anyway, thumbs up for Colbert in my mind.
Solid performance. Yeah.
Let's talk a bit about the comedy races.
Comedy races,
big night for a couple of shows. First and foremost, Veep. It won Best Comedy Series 3 years in a row. Julia Louis-Dreyfus won Best Actress 6 years in a row. She's won every season for Veep. I guess also winning three in a row means they've now won for half of their seasons, have won Best Comedy Series.
I'm putting you on the spot here. Do you remember what it lost to in 1, 2, and 3?
Modern Family.
Each time?
Yeah. Modern Family won the 5 years before Veep.
So it went Modern Family 5 times, and now it's been Veep 3 times.
It was 30 Rock 3 times, Modern Family 5 times, Veep 3 times.
Was there anything in between 30 Rock and Modern Family?
No.
Wow, there you go. So that's 11 years with only three shows winning.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of two of those shows.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. It's only got one more, though. I believe Veep only has one more season planned, so it can't catch Modern Family.
No, it won't win 5. It won't win the record. It could win 4, though, so that wouldn't be bad. But Julia could. Wouldn't that be incredible? She wins 7 for 7. Like, every season of the show, she won Best Lead Actress.
Here's a question. 20 years from now, will people say, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, oh, I love her. She's great. She was the character in... Will they say, will she be remembered more for Seinfeld or more for Veep? Because I know she's going to win more Emmys for Veep.
Yes, she
has. Veep's a very good... guaranteed, that's a guaranteed fact. And Veep's a very good show, but Seinfeld is just so iconic. What do you think people will come to mind first?
I think Seinfeld. And I just think because that show... huge rating show, definitely made a huge mark on the television landscape. I just think, like, the legacy of that series will be hard for Veep to overcome, because Veep, as great as it's been, and as many Emmys as it's won the past 3 years, the ratings are not huge for this show. This is a show that gets, like, maybe one or 2 million people a week tuning in. Like, it's very low, so it's not
really... I say that's partially because it's on HBO.
Yes.
And partially, even being on HBO, if you compare it to something that has, you know, broader success, it probably doesn't get the same ratings that Curb did or you know, especially, like, you know, a big hit like Game of Thrones. That's a big testament to Seinfeld, like how iconic that is and how long-lasting the sort of cultural impact it's had.
And it's easy to say a show that you know has already, like, stood the test of time 10, 20 years later, where Veep is a bit more of a, like, we're guessing whether in 10, 20 years' time people will still be talking about Veep. Yeah. I think they will. Like, I think the show will.
People like you and me certainly will.
Yeah.
On more broadly.
I think, so. And not to take away from Selena Meyer, is an iconic character. Like, I think people won't forget this performance. Like, Seinfeld might be what first comes to mind with Julia, but I think this is probably her best performance. Like, she's sort of been the central lead on this show for 7 years. So... I'm not really comparing the performances as much as just thinking,
the show. So comedy, Veep did very well.
Atlanta did very well. Lead actor for Donald Glover, and it won directing for Donald Glover too.
Yeah, how much of a surprise was this? Did you hear any rumblings of Atlanta going into the Emmys?
Donald Glover was the favourite to win Best Actor on the Gold Derby odds. Some of us were sceptical whether someone sort of like young, maybe not seen as much of an actor like performance because he's sort of the writer, showrunner, looks like he might be playing himself, sort of like a Larry David, Louis C.K. problem. Mm-hmm. So, like, a lot of us were sceptical, but actually the raw odds when you counted everyone's predictions were projecting Donald Glover. So it wasn't a shock when he won, but...
Atlanta won at the Golden Globes a while back.
It won a couple years at the Golden Globes.
Which doesn't necessarily particularly tie too closely to the Emmys, but you knew it was a possibility.
Yeah, and directing, I think, is benefit. There were, like, 3 nominees from Veep and 2 from Silicon Valley. 2 from Silicon Valley, 2 from Veep, and 1 from Atlanta. So there's a lot of thoughts that maybe there'd be a bit of a vote split happening.
Stephen Bradbury. Yeah. Everybody else crashed into each other and... Atlanta comes down in the middle.
So we think, and it was sort of projected, and I think those two wins probably show it's probably true that probably Atlanta was the second most likely best comedy series winner as well. So not huge shocks there, but still, I think that's like a good night for Atlanta. Like that probably would have been, you thought, oh, look, it's front runner maybe to win 2 tonight. Like, if it wins more, it'll be an amazing night, but it could easily lose 1 or both of those 2, so...
Yeah, I don't know if I know anyone that's huge into Atlanta. I think our friend Cristobal, who joined us for the Civil War podcast, I know he likes it, but that's about it, really. I only watched the pilot, and I didn't mind it. I thought there was some interesting bits here and there, but it didn't really come across as a comedy, to be honest. And it didn't really, obviously, it didn't hook me in enough to continue going. So I know you've watched a bit more of it. Should I give it a second chance?
Maybe. I think it's a good show. I like it, but it's not one that I love. And I think there's some episodes that are stronger than others. Maybe watch the episode BAN, the one for directing, because it's quite a different, it's sort of a satire of a community access show or something. So that's a very different format to the other episode. So maybe give that a go and see what you think of that one.
Would you describe the show as a comedy?
More so than other comedies.
It's funnier than Transparent?
Yeah, I think it's funnier than Transparent and funnier than probably some seasons of Girls and funnier than... So it's like... it's hard for me to complain too much when I've seen worse offenders.
All right. Did anybody else make an appearance in comedy?
Well, Saturday Night Live won the 2 supporting races for Kate McKinnon and Alec Baldwin. Clinton and Trump win.
It's a participation medal. It's the grade school approach to politics. Everybody wins.
If they had in the presidential race, they had a female and male category, they both would have won.
King and Queen, prom King and Queen of the United States.
Run it together, guys.
What a duo that would be.
Yeah.
I thought Kate was more deserving than Alec. I like Alec, I love 30 Rock, I love Jack Donaghy. But I thought, just for that one... impersonation. I don't know. I don't think it would have got my vote.
I agree. I think that the Al Borland thing, the first time which I saw it, I thought it was brilliant, but it did wear a bit thin for me after a while. And in some ways, just doing the same things over and over again. So I was not a huge fan of that as an acting performance. I do agree, Kate McKinnon more deserving. Because she didn't just play Hillary Clinton, she did a great Kellyanne Conway as well, and things like that. So I think I still find it a bit odd these sketch show actors winning in these races when you've had other people like Titus Burgess or Matt Walsh or on the female side, someone like Judith Light or who else is nominated on the actress side of things? There's a lot of SNL people nominated.
Yeah, Leslie Jones got nominated.
Yeah, like who have sort of crafted a character. Like, that goes on a journey throughout the course of a season.
Can I just throw a quick shout out to Titus Burgess?
Yeah.
Because we didn't do a Kimmy Schmidt podcast this season. And we could always do a belated one. We probably won't, unless people are clamoring for it. Send us a message, facebook.com/screenbuddypodcast. But I enjoyed this season, and Ellie Kemper's great, but I think Tyus Burgess, it was even better this season. Just his energy, the one-liners, which I know is the writing, but just, like, his timing, his, like, pizzazz, he's just, like, so... He's so over the top in a way that works. I'm sure he was a bit of an underdog in this category, but if he even had pulled it out, I would have been a big fan of that win.
Yes. Last of comedy, Master of None when writing. We both said we loved that episode. That was really strong.
Yeah, that was one of our favourite episodes of the season. Quite an original, unique episode for the show. So glad to see it.
Fantastic. The Drama Races, Handmaid's Tale. Series, lead actress, supporting actress, writing, directing. It's hard to say that that wasn't the big winner of the night on the drama side of things.
Yeah, it did seem... Because it seemed like this year was a bit of an open race.
It was. Game of Thrones out. Westworld had the most nominations. Stranger Things did the best at the creative arts. The Crown is a very sort of pretentious Emmy-type show. Like, it was some... That was very good too, so yeah.
Yeah, I thought, I thought a number of shows could win. I went with Stranger Things. I think I saw The Handmaid's Tale win. It was either writing or directing. I thought, well, that's interesting. How's that going to shake things up? And then it went writing and directing, and I thought, ooh, I'm pretty sure there's a landslide coming here. And picked up a couple of acting and then series, obviously. So... I haven't actually watched The Handmaid's Tale, although I do have Hulu, so I can't use that excuse. Matt, what did you think of these awards that it picked up?
It was interesting. I was watching the show a couple months ago, before Emmy nominations came out, I was watching the show, and I thought, I think this show's going to win Best Drama Series. Just seems like an important show. It was released late enough that people are still talking about it. The buzz is high. Important issues. It's about dystopian world where women are treated very poorly. So I thought this is going to be something that people think is important to shine a light on. And Elizabeth Moss is the star of it. She was big on Mad Men, all those sorts. I thought... So the stars were aligning perfectly for Handmaid. When the nominations came out, I thought they got enough that I sort of agreed with that. Then I switched to Stranger Things when they won all those creative arts ones last week, which was very annoying. I really like... Handmaid tells the show I was watching going, I know this is good, I just don't know how much I like it. Like, this could be very good, or, like, think it's better than it is. But, like, you know, I was sort of... So I'm still not quite sure how much I actually liked the show. I think it could be the kind of show will really depend where they go with it in future seasons. Like, I think Game of Thrones was a show the first season was like, oh, yeah, I really like this. Ended really strong. Mm. But it's because it built on it so well that I can go back, watch season one, and appreciate it a whole lot more. I think Breaking Bad's a show like that, too, where they went with the show makes season one better because they were laying the foundation for what it would become. And I will hope Handmaid's Tale is also a show like that. Where it's sort of like, as things develop, get more exciting, you're going to go, oh, I'm glad that first season was so slow and they did such a masterful job of setting it up. But
I feel like that sort of approach, it's kind of like your risk-reward, right? Say, with Game of Thrones, I typically find, like, a slow burn, but when usually you get to episode 9 or 10 and there's that big payoff, like, the whole season feels worth it.
Yeah.
But everybody knows that I didn't particularly like season 5, and if it doesn't pay off, you're like, what? I wasted 10 hours on this?
Yeah. Exactly. So, let's see what happens with The Handmaid's Tale. Sterling K. Brown won for This Is Us. Do you have a strong opinion on that performance?
I like Sterling K. Brown as a dude. Seems like a cool dude. I haven't seen This Is Us. I know a lot of people love it. I know, pretty sure it's the number one rated drama or what have you. But, man, just like the commercials, the ads, the way people talk about it, it just seems like so... it just seems so lame. Like, it's like, oh, we've made something to be so serious and sad and, oh, you'll just love these people and you'll feel and you'll cry. And it's just like, oh, give me a break. So I know I speak about it passionately just from the commercials, but I haven't actually watched the show.
So if you love this show, if you think it's an amazing show, a real indictment on the promos department.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, yeah, yeah. Off with their heads.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I have not really warmed to This Is Us. It's not really my type of show in my wheelhouse. And Bob Odenkirk was robbed. He was so good in Better Call Saul this year.
I picked Odenkirk.
Yeah, I picked him too. I was shaky on the pretty. I thought, I know this is a pretty open race, could go anyway, but I very upset for Bob Odenkirk not winning. And I was probably more upset about him not winning than I was about Kate Brown winning. Because he does seem like a nice guy. And he's... say what you will about the show and whether it's the best performance and comparing stuff. He's a good actor. Like, he does a good job in This Is Us. It's just not my cup of tea. Okay. So, let's move on to... do we want to talk about the stories from the Emmys now? Like...
Yes. Some other opinions may come up as we go along, but that's the most of the major awards.
We always talk about series more than like the other sort of types of categories anyway at Screen Verdict.
Mm-hmm. So, Matt, you actually got to go to the Emmys.
Should I say Bonnie's back? She wanted to maybe pop in for a bit.
Bonnie wanted to hear the stories. We'll do a quick status update. Okay, we're back.
We're back with Bonnie. Bonnie, just quick thoughts. Did you like the Emmys this year?
I love the Emmys. I love Stephen Colbert.
Yeah.
A lot of good talent.
A Carolina native.
Yeah. South Carolina?
He's South. That's why I didn't say North. Because Bonnie's from North Carolina, for those who...
but she's claiming it.
She's claiming it. So, I can't find the stuff I wrote from my notes. Anyway, I'll remember the stuff anyway. So, I get to the Emmy Awards, and before the show I think, I've got to go to the bathroom. And I also have the back of my head, might bump into someone cool in the bathroom, like, yeah. If a celebrity needs to go to the bathroom, they can't ask their handler to do that for them. They've got to go themselves. So I was just approaching the corridor, like where you go down to the men's room, and coming out of the bathroom, Jeffrey Tambor.
Which bathroom did he go to?
Wow.
Yeah. The women. He was coming out of the men's bathroom. Okay. Yeah, he's coming out of the men's room. So he's walking along, and... I thought, I should say something to Jeffrey. Like, I love Arrested Development and stuff. So, but it was just coming out of the bathroom. I didn't want to, like, I don't think this was the appropriate time for, like, a massive chat. Like, so I just said to him, all the best, Jeffrey, and stuck out my hand for him to shake it. And he looks down at my hand.
It's a lot of pressure. He's just come out of the bathroom. Yeah. He's like, have I washed? Did I dry properly? Like, what is this going to say about me when I shake his hand?
So, he looked down at my hand, and then he just gave me a hug.
A hug?
He upgraded. Yeah, he upgraded to a hug. And then he asked
me... Can't feel that wet hand on the back of your suit.
Then he had a question for me. He said, are you nominated tonight?
Wow. Just... yeah. I guess he doesn't, like, follow, like, the Gold Derby racetrack odds.
Yeah, well,
and he said, yes, I am.
Well, I said, unfortunately not this year.
Snubbed.
And then he said this. He said, it's a fucking disgrace. I'm thinking of leaving.
Did what you really?
Yeah. Yeah, he said that. I said, oh, thanks, Jeffrey. So that was my first celebrity encounter of the night.
Is Jeffrey Tambor setting the bar high.
Yeah, that probably was the best story of all the stories. And I didn't get a photo with him. At the end, I was like, why don't I just ask him for a photo then? I'm sure he would have taken one. Like, so anyway, then I went for another bathroom break in the show, and I saw Fred Armisen standing on his own outside.
Wow.
And I thought, and
he's someone you've interviewed.
I've interviewed him a couple of times. It'd be rude for me not to go and say hi. He's on his own. Like, you know, I want to make sure he's having a good time. So I go up to him and say, oh, Fred, it's Matt. We do the web chats. He goes, and he's really happy to see me. He's like, oh, you mate. He goes, oh, boy, this must be you in your element now. He was like, this must be you. You must be loving it. You must be so comfortable here. Like, I was like, well, you're the one who's nominated every year, Fred. I said, and you must love coming out to these two. And he goes, oh, yeah, it's great. I get to meet all my friends again. And, like, yeah, just hang out with them. It's really fun. And I said, he said, how many of these have you been to? I said, two. And he was like, what, two? So I thought you'd been to like 10 or something. So there you go, Fred Armisen. Then we just had a bit of a chat about nothing, like for another couple of minutes.
You come across like a real veteran of the awards scene.
Yeah.
You know where the shrimp cocktails are.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he's probably disappointed that he couldn't ask me where what all the sneaky tricks were like around the Emmys. That was pretty much it for celebrity encounters during the show.
But great.
Yeah, but then I went to the HBO after party. And
it's the after party.
Yeah.
That's what people tell me. So I was at that and had a few more celebrity encounters there. So HBO after party, what do I do? I'm trying to remember. Get in, walking right in front of, arrive at the same time as Reese Witherspoon. So she's walking right ahead of us with Emmy in hand.
Bunny's a big fan, of the spoon.
Huge fan of the spoon.
Yeah. She's a little spoon, like, not very tall. But no, she was holding her Emmy and stuff. Didn't talk with her, but, like, that was just who we entered at the same time as.
Famous enough just to claim the sighting.
Yeah, yeah. She was making her way. She arrived at the sort of the Big Little Lies table where David E. Kelly was sort of seemed to be the guy sort of running the show over there, like a lot of people lining up to speak with him. Michelle Pfeiffer came over and gave me a kiss.
Really?
Yeah. She's his wife.
Oh.
Yeah. So then we turn around, guess who's sitting in one of the booths?
Barack Obama.
Larry David.
I was close.
Yeah. Larry David. Yeah. Yeah. Larry David sitting in one of the booths with Jeff from Curb Your Enthusiasm. Oh. They're chatting together. Yeah. It's sort of hard to know how to approach a booth, like when people are sort of sitting eating. Like that's sort of not, when people are standing with a drink, it's much easier to approach them. Mm. So he thought, we'll come back to him later maybe or whatever.
Let him finish his spaghetti.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So spaghetti.
That's what they serve at the after party.
So then came,
so you know,
with meatballs.
Then came back to that table a little bit later. And so we came back to the table with Larry Dave, but he'd gone. And guess who Jeff was talking to now?
Barack Obama.
Ben Affleck.
I was close.
Yeah. Talking with Ben Affleck.
Wow.
So me and Marcus, who's everyone got to, we're trying to hatch a plan. Okay, we should say hi to Ben Affleck. What should we say? And we're trying to think of what to say. And I came up with something that was pretty good. But just as we're about to go up to him, Larry David's walking past.
Oh, man.
I think, gotta grab Larry. Who knows how...
Ben, you got bumped.
Yeah. Who knows
how... You gave him the ass flick.
Yeah. So, we thought, gotta say hi to... So I said, oh, Larry, so excited for Curb coming back. He said, oh, thank you. I said, could we grab a quick photo? Because I thought, Larry's not going to want to chat for long.
No.
We've got to just get the photo
I got
Larry.
6 seconds.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He says, oh, yeah, okay, okay. And then, like, Marcus said to him, you must be hating this. And Larry said, yeah, this is ruining my night.
You've ruined Larry Davis' night. I'd put that on the resume.
Yeah.
It's like applying for like a job at like a nice private school in the city. Ruined Larry Davis' night at the 2017 Emmys.
Then he makes a beeline for the exit, Larry.
You got him.
But we then saw him later in the
you
party.
You were the final straw.
We then saw him later. So he must have...
He reconsidered. Yeah. He got over it.
Marcus asked him for a photo a bit later and he said, no. So Marcus has a photo of like him smiling and Larry like walking away looking at him like not wanting to take a photo. So anyway, then Ben gets up and he's about to leave. So we go up to Ben and this is what I say to him. I say, Ben, can you settle a bet for us? And Ben's like, we'll see. Like, it depends what the bet is. And I said, at Gold Derby, we work for Gold Derby. Our boss, Tom, is always saying that you're a massive Gold Derby fan. We're not sure. We were having a disagreement over whether Tom's BS or not, or whatever. And Ben goes, oh, yeah, no, huge Gold Derby fan.
Hey! Yeah.
Said, love the odds, love following it all. I said, can we get a photo, Ben? As we're getting the photo, I say, so what shows, like, were you excited to see win tonight? He goes, not really a TV guy. Not really in the TV, but he goes, I love your movie odds. I think he was still even talking about Gold Derby or something. Like, I don't know, but he goes, love your movie odds. They're really good. I really like following them every year. And then just as he was about to leave, he tapped me on the shoulder and said, oh, and my Gold Derby award? I cherish that. So, yeah, because he won it for Argo, I think. Yeah, he won a gold derby world for Argo a couple years ago. Yeah. What?
You're a stud.
Yeah. Well, gold derby, that's a good.
You went straight back to Tom. You're like, Tom, settle the bet and never heard of you.
Who else did we see at the party? We saw Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Woo!
Yeah, she was great.
Bloody's a fan.
Gave her a, you know, she gave me a hug, which was nice. Introduced me to her husband.
Did she, one very important question. Did she smell good?
Oh, I wasn't thinking it. Like, she didn't smell bad. Like, but you said, I just don't, like, I'm not a smell guy.
I just
really
feel like
well.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus would smell like vanilla and happiness.
She didn't smell bad. Like, she didn't, like, I didn't,
I
like,
want to give her a hug mainly just to smell it.
Well, if I ever hug her again, I'll try to...
Just take a deep whiff. What are you wearing? Is that vanilla?
But truly, she always looks so fresh and clean. She's like, she smells nice.
She was very clean. She was very
clean.
If you're listening, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, I love you.
Yeah.
And thanks for smelling so good.
Yeah, no, she was great, Julia. And we had a good chat about her award wins. And she was very excited. I was saying, oh, do you reckon you win 7 for 7? She's like, oh, we'll see. Like, you know, like, so... Yeah, no, had a good chat with Julia. She was having a good night. Saw Tony Hale from Veep.
Gotta love Tony.
He had his parents at the Emmys for the first time, so he was a bit nervous. Like, he was a bit like, oh, I hope they're having a good time, like, sort of thing. Saw Matt Walsh. She's very excited. We were going to see the UCB this week.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was like, oh, I'm so happy you see that. Like, it's so, makes me so happy. Saw Alexander Skarsgård from... Big Little Lies. He let me hold his Emmy, which was
Swedish
cool.
Guy, right?
I think so. Yeah.
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 We met some really great Swedish people on our honeymoon.
Oh, here we go.
Now I'm all excited to go to Sweden. So if there are any Swedish listeners, if you'd like to put us up for a couple nights, we could trade jiu-jitsu lessons or Pilates.
Yoga, Pilates. Sorry, Pilates, buddy.
Or even dressage.
Dressage. There we go. So. Bumped into those people.
Cool.
Carrie Coon, she was really nice. We had a good chat with her. Like, there are a few other people in the mix. One of the last people we spoke to, this guy was pretty exciting. He rocked up a little late to the party, but he was there sitting at a table. And we sort of approached him. We opened with him was, can we get a photo? Because he looks pretty busy. He's in the middle of a booth. We sort of leaned around the back of the booth, so he had to stand up. And turn around like this. It was John Oliver.
Wow.
Yeah,
John Oliver. So we got the photos, and he got a photo of me, and I was like, his Emmys are on the table. I said, John, could I get one with the Emmy? So he let me hold the Emmy for a photo. So we like had to reach over and grab it and stuff. Like,
some security guy just sees you reaching over into a booth and grabbing an Emmy.
Well, at first, John at first was like, he said, like, oh, yeah, sure, just grab it. And I was, like, trying to read. Like, it was quite awkward me to reach it, and then he just reached over and grabbed it and, like, gave it to me. And I said, oh, great. And he's like, no, you can hold it. That's fine. And then we talked to him for, like, 20 minutes after that.
What did you talk about? Let's hear more.
We talked about, you know, we love that Kimmel Colbert joke?
Yes.
About the cocktail?
Yes.
He was backstage when they made that. So I told him the joke.
Oh, he missed it?
Yeah.
Did he think it was funny when he told
it? Yeah, he said it was, he said, that's a fair knock. Like, that's a fair knock.
And you were like, Colbert might have delivered it better, really.
Yeah. We had a bit, we talked a bit about, I asked him if Trump made the show easier or harder to make. He said he wasn't quite sure. Because I said, like, you used to be able to just, like, avoid all that stuff and just do a big deep dive. Because, yeah, we still do that, but it just means now we have to spend the first 5 minutes talking about Trump. So, you know. So there was that. We talked a bit about... a bit about Colbert did a good job of hosting. He said he thought he did, but he didn't see much of it because he was backstage a lot. I guess he won so much.
Yeah.
That
was like Julia didn't even get back to her seat for a couple of...
Yeah.
It was like she just like spun around and grabbed another Emmy.
Can somebody just get her a chair on the side of the stage?
Yeah.
It just says JLD, like...
Yeah.
This is where you sit.
Yeah.
This is just where you
little,
sit.
A little throne.
Yeah.
Made out of all her Emmys. She's got enough to, like, build it.
Yeah.
And Meryl has one at the Oscars. Yeah. You know, everybody's got, every queen's
like
got
the Game of Thrones throne, like, made out of swords. Like, she just got them made out of, like, little sword statues.
After the Emmy, after he got the photo made of the Emmy, he'd put it down on his seat, and Chris was like, oh, just make sure you don't sit on the Emmy when you sit down. And John's like, oh, yeah, they're very pointy. And he goes, and you won't believe this, they'll let you take it on planes. That's when I was like, oh, man, I can't believe Al-Qaeda isn't working or, like, figuring out what's the easiest Emmy category to win and not making one of those things.
Most likely to ruin people's lives.
Yeah.
Al-Qaeda!
Or you can just get a fake one and, like, so, like the, you know, air hostess walks past and you're like, yeah, foreign documentary. Like,
Foreign
documentary.
Yeah, that's good. We also talked a bit about just... yeah, just stuff like that. We do, you know, just have a, like, little odds and ends. I talked a bit about, like, an Australian reporter asked him a stupid question last year at the Emmys, and I thanked him for, like, you know, giving her what she deserved. Oh, yeah, he goes, I'm always going after her. She's an idiot. Or, hey, sorry, that's not a quote. He did not say she's an idiot. He's not a John Oliver quote. Yeah, so that was fun.
Very cool.
They're pretty much Emmy stories.
That's quite the list.
Yeah.
It's not like they just put you at the back of the room and said, don't break anything.
No, they were like, let me loose.
Like, Matt, get out there, man. Make some connections.
Yeah.
How many times did you mention the Screen Verdict podcast? Things to work on for next year.
To be honest, yeah. No, I didn't.
Never mind. Well, very cool. I think that's most of the Emmy-related... Well, we can say this is housekeeping or Emmy-related stuff. I know Bonnie's going to want to bring it up.
Maybe.
Because Bonnie and I decided to do a little wager.
Oh.
Let's make the Emmys interesting.
I thought you were going to say our marriage was a wager.
Yeah, I thought you were going the marriage angle too. And I go, well, this is an interesting way of framing it, like, as a wager. Like,
look, the people don't want to hear about marriage. It's boring. They want to hear about this big bet we made over the Emmys.
Yes, that is what they want to hear.
Wagers, I bet we stay together for the rest of our lives, or else we have to split everything 50-50.
Yeah.
That's the bet.
Can we get sound effects in here? Where's our sound? Is our sound guy sick
tonight? No, we never had a sound guy.
Gosh.
Tough crowd.
He's always slacking off.
Yeah.
So here's the wager. The Emmys wager was we were just going to pick the winners. One correct pick equals 1 point. It's a simple system. And whoever gets the most points at the end of the evening receives a free dinner at the restaurant of our choice. And we both would pick the same place because one of our favorite places to eat here in LA, in Santa Monica, is Hillstone.
Hashtag right. Not an ad. Hashtag.
Yeah, they didn't pay for that. They did not pay for that. That's an organic.
If you would like to give us a free dinner, we'd be happy to drop your name, which we're not going to say again.
Yeah, you only get one free mention.
I think I mentioned it twice, but anyway.
So that was up for grabs, and boy. Was it close for at least the first five or six categories? I got blown out. I got blown out pretty bad. I owe Bonnie a dinner at Hillstone.
It's 10-7, is that?
10-7.
I know to read a tally.
To be honest, I don't think we were winning any gold derby competitions. But yes, a handy win for Bonnie. Bonnie, what did it for you? What did you know that I didn't?
Mm.
You know, I saw Big Little Lies. I knew they were going to win a lot. And he hadn't seen Big Little Lies, so he didn't know if it was really going to be up there. But I knew it was. I was probably most impressed with Nicole Kidman's performance in that.
Well, she won.
And I wasn't surprised. Now, I've never seen The Handmaid's Tale, so I missed all the questions that had to do with The Handmaid's Tale.
Unfortunately, so did Jonathan.
Yeah.
You know, we watched stuff together, so that, you know.
Except Big Little Lies, apparently.
Yeah.
Except Big Little Lies. I did see that with, I'm guessing, either my mom or my girlfriend.
And were you a fan? Did you think it should have won those awards?
Of Big Little Lies?
Yeah.
Absolutely. No, it's phenomenal. It's a great book. Read the book first and then enjoy the movie. That's great. Or the series, I guess you would call it. Whatever you want.
It's amazing.
There you go. See, that's the insider tip. Don't neglect Don't neglect those mini-series, those TV movies when doing your picks, because on a one-point system, it's worth just as much as a drama series or a comedy series. So, lesson learned.
Yes.
Well, very good. We did also get married.
Woo!
That's something that people are interested in.
I was there.
Yeah,
I had a good time.
Matt made an appearance. Matt did a speech at the rehearsal dinner. Gave a shout out to our screenwriting
tutor, Ray Devitt.
Ray Devitt.
Yeah.
Influential in the Screen Verdict trajectory.
Yep. John gave a good speech, didn't he?
Yeah, the
directed
was,
a 10-minute race.
There's no time. You're not on the clock, but around 3 to 5 minutes is what to aim for. John did, like, a 15-minute race where he just picked out everyone in the friendship group and just absolutely skewered them.
I was in tears. I was in tears of laughter. Your friend Hannah, did you have a good limerick?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was good.
Very cool.
Yeah.
And different. Memorable.
My sister did a great speech.
Yeah.
And she cried, which made me cry. Gotta love a good cry. Who doesn't love a good cry?
Yeah, I cried during John's.
Different cry. Different.
And just a lovely, lovely weekend.
It was
lovely. There were horses, barns, and...
Barbecue.
Wine.
All the good things.
Golf.
The only thing we were missing was Hollywood.
Hollywood? Yeah, the Screen Verdict team.
That was the only thing we were missing. Well, yeah, that's close enough.
Yeah.
But no, it was really fun. The band was great.
The band was great.
Yeah,
Bonnie sang!
Yeah, there's your Hollywood.
Bonnie sang!
I did.
She sang a song for John, and it was so good. I had no idea. Like, I wasn't surprised that you're a good singer, but I'd never heard you sing like that before. You're incredible.
Thank you. I enjoyed it. It was fun. I surprised him. He had no idea that I was going to do it. Mm-hmm. And I honestly only really decided about a week before that I was going to do it. I had been thinking about doing it and kind of thinking like, that might be kind of weird to sing at your own wedding, you know. And then finally I just decided,
let's do it.
It's for him. It's not for me. It's completely for him.
I love it. No, it was really good. I did try to watch one of your singing things on Facebook once before, and the link didn't work or something. So it's not because I haven't. I know you've posted stuff.
I'll check with my assistant on that.
We'll get the Screen Verdict interns on that if you need.
After that moment, I leaned into one of your friends and I was like, "Boy, Bonnie can sing. Bonnie's got a voice on her."
I do. You know, I do what I can.
The Voice. Maybe the next season of The Voice. Who knows?
I would have turned my chair around. I would have been pressing that button. I want you.
I did actually audition for American Idol in 2008. Did not make it. But
did you get to the panel? Did you get to do it in front of Simon? Because I was assuming there'd be a few.
We need a sad backstory. If anyone's got any suggestions.
Yeah, you really got to have a good backstory. Like, you grew up underneath an umbrella in Timbuktu, and you had seven brothers.
Husband got in a wheelchair. Husband's had an accident.
You really
got
to have an intriguing story to make it. Talent.
You mean like a peg leg and a comb over.
Yeah, get in a wheelchair, Jonathan. I think also with American Idol, like getting to that last round, you even need to be like one of the people going to choose for someone awful.
Yes.
Right? Like, you'll pick a few, tragedies.
You can't be a good singer. You got to be Beyonce or
the worst.
Terrifying.
Yeah. William Hung.
And they'll pick, like, one or two that they're not going to take through, but it's okay. Like, you know, they want it to look like it's a cross-section,
It's totally casting just the same way they cast a TV show. A lot of it goes on looks. A lot of it goes on backstory. Talent, of course, is important, but that's not... not just based on talent. And it can't be. When it's television, you've got to... It's got to be a good show. And that's just... That's how... how Hollywood works.
Mm. Well, I've probably got to leave for my plane in about 5 minutes. Five to 10 minutes. So we should probably wrap this podcast up.
Well, there you go. That was a fun podcast. Good wrap up of the Emmys and some
woo!
Yay!
Some life events.
17.
from the Screen Verdict team. So thanks a lot for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. And we'll catch you next week.
Bye.